Sadhu. So if we have any new friends joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, or you can also send them through the chat.
So everybody seems in wideness, so no questions. Jennifer, are you too in wideness?
I don't think so, Bante. Maybe good. Quite the opposite. Think through everything that you had just mentioned and trying to fully understand. Chita Devi, you may ask a question.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. Now, Bante, you kept mentioning releasing the mind when you were explaining.
Yes.
Can you just elaborate on when you say we release the mind? Can you just explain that a little further, if you don't mind, please?
Yeah, yeah. Now, say for example, Vedanupassana as an example. Suppose
yes.
You are practicing Vedanupassana and you are observing various feelings, and at first you may feel, okay, this is a pleasurable feeling and this is a painful feeling. A painful feeling arises and spend a couple of minutes and then it fades away. So this is the very basically preliminary understanding that you may get. And later as you enhance your practice, you further recognize, okay, it is not a single pleasurable feeling, it is not a single painful feeling. It is a collection of feelings. There may be thousands of minute feelings as a group manifest as a single painful feeling. So that understanding is another level. So you are breakthrough to the compactness, the Ghana Sanya has now broken. So you understand it is not a single painful feeling, rather it consists of thousands of minute feelings. And assume that you are further refining your attention and paying attention to each and every minute feeling. And there you may understand, okay, these are not long-lasting. These are extremely transient. They quickly arise and pass away. So, it's very much like Buddha mentioned as a simile. For example, like a rainfall happens to a kind of a reservoir, where each and every raindrop causes to generate a water bubble and it quickly bursts. Another water bubble, it quickly bursts. So if you get the big picture of such kind of a heavy rain, you can see the surface of the water surface, you can understand, okay, they quickly arise and pass away. Similarly, such kind of a picture, probably one may see through the practice, especially in the Vedanupassana. So more and more you recognize that, you can understand this actually not limited to pleasurable feelings. This is common to painful feelings. This is common to equanimous feelings. So all the feelings have this kind of a situation. Now you lose information about whether it is pleasurable, painful or equanimous. What you know is nothing but arising and passing away. Something is there. Everything is arising and passing away. It is so rapid. And you can't recognize whether it is happy or pleasurable, painful or equanimous. That perception's gone now. Now you know something is there. Some feelings are there. Everything is so vulnerable. Things are arising and passing away. So this is another level that you reach. And then, suppose as you continue, so this actually develops a fair amount of dispassion in your mind. Now, typically, when there is happiness, pleasurable feelings, we always want to attach to that. We want to grasp it. We want to claim it. And whenever there are painful feelings, we want to reject it. We want to get rid of them. And equanimous feeling, those are quite boring. I want to jump to pleasurable feelings. So this is the typical approach we have. But now, when things become more singleness, then you can't attach that and you can't even reject it and you have no control. So you become somewhat dispassionate. So your mind more disengaged. in the process. So you develop kind of a separation from the process. So this is how your mind slowly releases from grasping. And there may be a situation you are further enhancing this dispassion. You have a fair amount of understanding and assume that this process has now become more blurred. You can't really get the sign. You can't really see whether it is circular or whether it is rectangular or whatever it is. The shape is not possible to grasp, not possible to understand. And the whether it is painful, pleasurable, equanimous, that also you can't understand. You can't recognize. So all the signs, marks are difficult to get now. As a result of that mind release, because it can't take any sign, it can't take any nimitta, it can't take any shape, any color, it can't take. As a result of that mind become completely free from signs, that we call as release, a temporary release, and that is, I have explained through the knowing impermanence more vividly. So through knowing impermanence vividly, one's mind can get released. Then we call it as a animitta state. It becomes signless. So when it comes to voidness, actually the anatta, the non-self characteristics is more prominent. Say, when you see that this process is very vulnerable, completely transient, inconstant, where can we have a person and it is under, it is beyond my control? They are rising and passing away very quickly due to their own reasons. It is not I am doing it. It is not some external force doing it. There are causes and conditions. They are also vulnerable. That is why the result also vulnerable. So likewise, some deeper understanding to selfless nature or a soul-free nature. You can't have a soul here. You can't have an everlasting soul here. And there is nothing significant here, nothing substantial. So that understanding, when one may grow, so it will release the mind through emptiness or through voidness. Yeah.
So we can apply that also to our, when the breath breaks up. You know, minute, and also the body gets lighter and lighter, and you can't see the solidity. That also it sort of breaks up, and kind of not permanent, because it's and also it's beyond our control. So then that is the anatta nature, because it's happening.
Can so actually
we can apply that to the body as well.
Sure, definitely. So what I actually have explained is some bodily feelings. Similarly, you can apply to various element characteristics.
Yes. Sometimes it's easy because it's getting lighter and lighter, and you can't feel it. It is like in particles.
Can, definitely can.
Yeah, so we can apply that to the same thing, right?
Yes. So actually, you can use Kaya Anupassana methods, you can use Vedana Anupassana methods, and even you can use Chitta Anupassana. I mean, you can watch how thoughts coming and going. And there may be now you come through a kind of silent period. There are no thoughts, absence of thoughts.
Yes.
So at that time, actually, you can use that as a kind of what you call absence of thoughts, you can use as a mechanism, as a kind of a pathway to achieve voidness. So that is possible.
So do we then just come to a state where, sort of when we are meditating, we can come to a state where everything comes to a standstill? Is that what Buddha meant by voidness? That there are no thoughts and there's nothing, like nothingness kind of thing. Is that the voidness that he's talking about?
We can say so. Actually, the activities have stopped.
Yes.
Actually, activities have stopped is not the correct terminology, because activities are going on, mind is not interested about them. I mean, the body may be breathing, all the typical activities of the body is going through, but mind is not interested of them, mind is not grasping them, and mind is not grasping to the arising part. So therefore, I mean, it may go through some understanding. He understood, it understood enough about the adinava, the disadvantages of this whole thing. So therefore, it likes to mind its own business. So it likes seclusion. It likes seclusion, basically.
Well, it's like a stillness.
Yes, yes,
I mean,
of course.
Stillness.
Actually, you can understand like this. Now, when there is grasping, always movement is available. When there is association, there is always the movement available. So, because what you associate moves, what you associate is a conditioned phenomena, and whenever conditioned phenomena is concerned, it is always subject to some kind of a change, always subjected to some kind of vulnerable situation. So if you attach to that, your mind also become very vulnerable. Your mind also become quite unhappy, unsatisfactory, because what mind associates is naturally unhappy, naturally unstable. So, but on the opposite, when your mind has nothing to associate, when your mind is free from any conditioned phenomena, then what is the state? So that is where the mind become free. So that's a very beautiful statement in Channovada Sutta and several other suttas. Nissitassa chalitang, anissitassa chalitang natti. When someone or when the mind associates something, it always have chalita, always have the vibration, always have the ups and downs, always have the unsatisfactoriness. Anissitassa chalitang natti. When mind is free from any association, it is stable, it is still.
Yeah, so actually this state is when the mind is resting, it's just sitting.
Yes.
And just being.
Yes.
Without any attachment, without any excitement, without anything.
Correct.
It's just as if we are like the body sits down and rests, like that the mind is sitting down and resting.
Exactly.
So it is not. It is a very positive feeling, I think, from my point of view.
Definitely. Now we need to give due respect to the word voidness. Otherwise, when we call voidness, when we call emptiness, it can give a negative connotation, negative meaning.
Yes.
But it is entirely wrong. This voidness, this emptiness, is actually an absence of eye-making, absence of wrong self-view, absence of any irritation, absence of any kind of, agitation, grasping, grasping, or even absence of delusion, ignorance. So this absence of all these negative things we call as voidness or emptiness.
Yes, because it's a very... pure state.
Yes, exactly. It is void or it is impure of all these unnecessary signs, marks, perceptions, defilements. So that is why, I mean, if you can remember the previous sermon based on the Chula Sunyata Sutta, Buddha highlights at the latter stage, so one may achieve the supreme kind of whiteness when one's mind is free from all taints. When kamasava is absent, when bhavasava is absent, when avijjasava is absent, then one can say his mind is in the or dwelling in the supreme kind of emptiness.
Yes, and I presume that there are different stages also in that voidness. I mean, we can probably just touch it like touching our feet in the water, you know, just the toes only, but as you go along, it gets deeper and deeper into a more pure and pure state, right?
Yes, yes. There are many levels. Actually, that is why Buddha explain in this greater discourse of voidness that you need to enhance it. So what you achieve at the early stages is very temporary. It may last only 1 minute. It may last only 5 minutes. And you may even not notice it. So that's why we need to cultivate it, so that mind get really kind of an understanding this kind of situation is available. Otherwise, we don't know even such world is available, even such kind of a skill is available in the mind. We always think that always our mind has to have something, has to think about something. Always mind wants a thought. And we define our mind as a thinking mind. If there is no thinking, we feel like no mind.
Exactly. Because we then sometimes want to go back to the breath of her. When we just want to feel, we want to go back to the breath. Sometimes I feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is nothing. Because there is nothing.
Correct.
And then we want to hold on to something.
Yes.
And so we look for the breath.
That is a habitual tendency. So we want to occupy our mind always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't find that state boring. That some people say they are boring and they want to get up and go. But I don't find that state boring. I don't know whether I'm doing the correct thing or not.
Yeah.
But
no. Things as you improve your practice, so as you enhance your practice. So you don't consider it as a boredom.
Yes.
That's the point. Because the point is now, for the mundane person, more activities, he satisfied. Less activities, he defined as boredom. So that is why people are more tends towards the multitasking. So assume that he has to simply see a movie which is with less activity, no adventures, no say sexual things or any kind of agitative things. So he feel bored. He may start yawning. He may sleep. Less activities. Even it is a film, for him it is not enjoyable. Suppose someone is listening to some soft music. It may have some very soft kind of a course. Then sometimes people start to sleep because less activities. But on the other hand, if a kind of a film is quite adventurous, arousing a lot of sexual feelings, a lot of agitation, then people are not bored. They even open their mouth and look at it. Same situation.
Okay, interesting thing that the Buddha said was that we can also, with progress, to reach that stage during ordinary activities.
Definitely.
Stage of voidness.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So yeah, that's very interesting. Because sometimes when we are just sitting still, we might be able to get into that stage without actually meditating.
Correct, exactly. Now the point is, that's a very good point actually you are highlighting. Because when we are too much prepared for meditation. So I want to meditate, now I get up, or I prepare my seat, I want to sit cross-legged, I have to keep my back erect. So all these are actually necessary as a beginner, so you need to do a lot of preparations, otherwise you can't do it. But later, so these kind of too much of preparations become a hindrance, because your mind gets somewhat conditioned. And that blocks you from going to natural awareness, natural emptiness. But on the other hand, suppose you are going in the back seat. Say your husband is driving a car, your driver is driving the car, and you are simply resting on your back seat. And assume that you are simply watching outside. There is no people, there is no, shops. You are going through kind of a paddy field, you are going through kind of an empty land. There's nothing there, and you are simply watching far sky is there, and your mind become easily calmed down, and easily your mind may go to voidness.
Yes, because it's not impossible, you know, Bhante.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you are sitting and when there's nobody, you just can, again, like dipping your toes into the water. I mean, you know, one can feel that sense of contentment in a deeper way.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct, correct. Exactly.
There is no wanting to do this or that or no grasping or no desire. You just want to be.
Exactly. That's why I use the term dwelling in emptiness. So you can't dwell in emptiness when you are asking what next I have to do.
Yes, yes. Okay. So basically, it is just the mind still. It's not doing anything. It's not trying to grasp. It's not trying to, you know, it's just sitting there and feeling very comfortable. The
exactly.
mind is feeling very comfortable.
That's it.
That's very good. That's the, for a lay person, that's the meaning of voidness.
Yeah, I mean, not only for lay person, it is even for Buddha, that is it. That is why he is referring. That is why he is referring in the Chula Sunyata Sutta. It is not only in at that state or that in the past, Ananda. Even now, I most of the time dwell in emptiness. He's now,
which you can interpret as a state of contentment and happiness. Really.
Sure, sure,
that
definitely.
Would that be right?
Definitely, sure, definitely. Because now, I mean, your body may be walking, but mind may be still.
Yes. But thank you, Mahi. I got it now.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Radhika for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, actually, I raised my hand because I wanted to thank you. Basically, you asked me to increase my walking meditation, and that was very helpful for me. So I thought I will let others also know, because I had been doing a lot of sitting and less walking. Actually, I over time increased my sitting to 1.5 hours because I thought, maybe I thought I should try to go to this voidness. I don't know what way I increased it, but I was just kind of getting bored and falling asleep. And it wasn't working for me. So in my mind, I saw a lot of doubt and I wasn't getting kind of, so I was struggling. Then he told me to increase my walking meditation. And I did. And that made a big difference. So I just thought I'll share that and thank you. So basically, after I did that, I found that in addition to, first of all, feeling the sensations on my feet when I was walking, that after, and I increased my walking to 1 hour. And I did a small walking retreat, personal walking retreat, of about 4 days. So it was a very convenient thing because the weather outside was very bad, snowstorm, we couldn't go outside, so I could do this easily. So then what happened was I started feeling the sensations not only on my feet where there was contact, but I started feeling sensations on my face, and I spoke with you about that, and then I felt like a cooling of my face, so I felt that I was having like what they call some kind of dark guna, because it's coming and going, and the temperature difference. So first it was when I was walking, right? But later in other activities, I also I started having that, and also I started having vibrations down my body. So basically, first of all, again, I had it with you when I was listening to Dhamma talks. But then, and of course that's because it's in English and I understand, so it's easier for me to go into calm when I'm listening to an English one. But then I found I listened to a Sinhalese one. And I was just lying down and listening, and again the same thing. So in addition to the fact I was listening, right, I was getting very calm. I could feel this sensation on my face, a cooling of my face, and then I felt this sensation on my feet and the cooling of my feet too. So it was coming in other instances, not only when I was walking, and then I noticed that my, so during this retreat, I noticed that I was more, I used to do Dhammanupassana and I used to feel the emotions, right? But I was feeling this doubt and boredom, like, oh, that was once, but I started feeling the emotions as they happen. And I could see compassion arise, right? Concern, depending on, like, say something happened, like we got a phone call saying someone has got COVID, that been rushed to hospital, something like some situation, I could feel those emotions immediately, right? The concern. And then when I hear that, oh, it's okay, it's now, this is the fifth day and they have been stabilized, I could see the change in the emotion, and I could go back and meditate with no problem. So there were different interruptions which happened, of course, because it was at home, and I could see easier than normal. I mean, normally also there are times when I can catch the emotion as it arises, and I could identify the root cause of it and all that. But here it was very intense. I could see it very clearly, and I could catch it immediately. And then in the instant where there was something which was harder for me to get over immediately, like that, to see the arise and falling away and get back into meditation after something had happened, I increased my walking, and that helped me. But I could see that my mind was agitated. The sense of peace that I had during the retreat had changed. And then altogether, everything was better there was an enhancement as far as my sitting meditation too. Because when I get these this sensation on my face and the cooling on my face, then I can straight away also identify the breath and see that the breath going in is cooler and coming out is warmer, going in is drier, coming out is moist. So that also improves. So I thought I'll just say that sometimes it's not for everybody, but that for me, that advice you gave me to increase my walking and reduce my sitting a little bit, which I did, really helped. And it not only helped me in the walking, but it helped me in the daily life. When, like I said, in the retreat, the phone rang twice and we had some conversation, somebody came. In those instances too, being able to see my emotions, and also in my sitting meditation. So I just wanted to thank you.
Good, good.
Much merit.
Yeah, welcome. Okay, I think that's all. There are no more questions.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Actually, there's one more question. It was sent through the chat.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it says, Sante, thank you for clarity. Still, I'm wondering whether we are supposed to pay attention, which is proactive, or just become aware of what is arising as an observer of what we experience without any expectation. Thank you.
Actually, while you are dwelling in emptiness, there may be things that you can hear, because I mean you are not dead. Your mind, your faculties are so sharp. Only thing is, you may hear, but mind is not interested and going involved with them. Mind is not involved with them and asking what is it, why it is happening, who is doing that noise, making that noise, why he is doing that noise, blah blah blah. So that is missing. Mind simply hears it, that's it, done. That is why Buddha explains to Venerable Bahir, Ditte Ditta Mattam Bhavissati, seeing is just seeing. Sute sutamattam bhavissati, hearing is just hearing. Mute mutamattam bhavissati, what you smell, what you taste, what you feel through your body, that's it. And vinyate vinyatamattam bhavissati. I mean, there may be sometimes thoughts coming to your mind and you notice it and gone, it's gone. Assume that a single thought arises and it goes or it leaves your mind as a single thought. You are not adding to it, you are not coloring it, you are not fabricating on it. It is simply going. So your mind is very much reflective in that sense. It is not absorbing anything, rather it is reflecting everything. It's like a mirror. So therefore, I mean, you can hear, of course, but it is just a hearing. You can see, it is just a seeing. You can smell, cognize everything, it is just a cognition, that's it. So that is how, I mean, we have to enhance our mind. So at the beginning you can't maintain it because these certain things penetrate the mind and it may sort of get your mind involved with them. But slowly we are increasing our ability to not to get involved. Not to get involved means things are there, you are fully aware, but there is no inner chatter, there is no inner agitation, there is no mental proliferation brought or kind of build out of that. So this is the practice actually we need to move forward. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. May I also ask a question?
Okay.
So I have experienced certain meditation sessions where the mind is just aware and it's not, you know, attaching to this or that, it's just aware. And there's this nice tranquility available. But then I've also experienced where when I just want to be aware, but mind would just attach to this and attach to that. So two quite opposite extremes. In the latter case, Bhante, is that when we should apply or go back to the basics of, you know, using the breath or arising and falling as our anchor to kind of lessen this attachment of the mind so that we can just sit with just bare awareness?
Can, yes. Now, thing is, even though we discuss this some skillful things, so immediately we can't achieve it because we have some inherent latent tendencies. So due to that, sometimes they become active, more proactive, and then again go and grasp. So then the mindfulness will show us, okay, again the mind has grasped something. So at that time we have to use some mechanism to release the mind. So sometimes just looking at it, just knowing it, just being mindful about it would be enough. Then mind may simply leave it aside and simply become free. So that is the best way. And if it happens, no problem at all. And on the other hand, certain other times, it doesn't work in that way. Mind still holding, mind still grasping. Then probably we can apply certain other methods like explained in the Indriya Bhavana Sutta, where you see that how burden it is. I mean, how you have lost your lightness, you have lost your sort of calmness. That is no more. Again, mind has become crowded. Mind has become colored. So you understand this disadvantages of this grasping. Once you understand that, slowly a sort of reminding the mind of that freedom, reminding the mind of that simplicity, clarity, equanimity, then slowly mind may return back to that state. Or else you understand this nature, this new grasping nature is a result of fabrication, result of construction, result of your own additions. You yourself has sort of weaved the net. So you understand that kind of a constructed nature that also helps to disentangle the whole thing or unentangle the whole thing. And on the other hand, probably you can see what you grasp is impermanent. So there is something you have grasped. So that thing you are now little observing. Is it constantly available or is it changing? Is it I mean, is the same intensity available? So likewise, you do little analysis, observation, and that also helps to understand, yes, it is impermanent, no point of grasping. So that kind of an understanding probably can grow. And on the other hand, so due to weak mindfulness, mind go and latch onto something. Say you feel kind of, boredom probably. As a result of that, mind go and attached with something. Now slowly mind get tensed. So that also you can probably notice. At that time you need to arouse little amount of mindfulness as you mentioned. So you are now little sort of triggering the mindfulness. You are encouraging mindfulness. So it is a kind of purposeful mindfulness. Now you are little encouraging. So again, as mind is little awakened, okay, it will remove the grasping. So different techniques are available, not just one technique. So whatever the techniques working for you is all right.
Thank you, Bhante. Yes, so many techniques, and it sounds like we can start with more of the subtle techniques with these amount of effort.
Yes, yes.
To progressively more if needed. Okay.
Correct. Yes.
Thank you. Bhante. Yeah.
Okay, then we'll wind up the session. We almost covered 1.5 hours discussing Dhamma, sharing our experiences and listening to the Buddha's teaching. So with that, we are able to accumulate a lot of merits. Let's share these merits with all the past living relatives, with all the celestial beings, with all the beings who are in need of merits. Let's recite, or let's wish ourselves also to attain path fruition Nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our minds, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu mamparang. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.